are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Brian Peacock, former analyst at Pro Football Focus, former contributor at RotoWire, doing fantasy stuff, button pusher at KNBR Radio in San Francisco, current sports and traffic reporter in the Bay Area, and bringing you this podcast daily. One of my former colleagues at Pro Football Focus, Jeff Deeney, is joining me on the program today. This is part two of my conversation with him. We're going to get into some specific players that might fit some of the biggest needs the 49ers had coming into the 2019 offseason, look at who might fit in free agency and the draft, and especially that age-old question, who do you take with the number two pick in the NFL draft if you are the San Francisco 49ers? It's going to be a hot debate throughout the offseason, and I think Jeff's going to have some smart answers about who the right person there might be, although, you know, it's a long way to go before April, so some things might change, but we'll see where Jeff and I stand in late January when it comes to the number two overall pick. A quick programming note before I bring Jeff back on the show. There will be no podcast on Tuesday. I'll be traveling back for my birthday vacation in Lake Tahoe, so I won't be able to fit a show in for Tuesday morning, but I will be back on Wednesday with our regularly scheduled Winky Wednesday podcast. So keep those mailbag questions coming on Twitter at BD Peacock or via email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And now part two with my guest, Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus. So when it comes to getting after the quarterback and the coverage behind that and needing to cover for less time, do you think it's as much as adding that pass rush will fix most of the things on the back end, or do you have those needs really close? So if we were to rank the needs, we've got edge out front. I think we both agree on that. That's easily the number one need, is that edge rush. So after that, Is it a very close number two? And what even position would you have number two? Would it be free safety? Would it be corner? Would it be maybe offensive line? Because they are going to miss one of their starters that's going to go to free agency, and they could bring him back in Mike Person. And they still need to figure out what they're going to do in the future at tackle when Joe Staley leaves. Wide receiver could be an option. Is it a close number two, or is it a huge gap after edge? And what even would be that second need for you?
Yeah, I've been going back and forth between two and three, between free safety and cornerback. To me, free safety is a bigger need, but, you know, I'm kind of, you know, again, you can never have enough cornerbacks either, just the way, you know, the game is gone. Richard Sherman was really solid last year, and I think he's going to even be healthier this year. He's got another year past that Achilles injury. So, I mean, I'm still expecting really good things from him, but obviously, you know, his window is closing. So I think from a more of a long-term standpoint, cornerback's a big need because, you know, you have Sherman on one side for maybe a couple more years, but, you know, Akilah Weatherspoon really regressed last year and has become kind of a question mark. You know, Tavarius Moore showed some promise. So you have some guys there who could break out, but, you know, you're not sure yet. But I kind of, you know, I was going back and forth on this. I kind of want free safety as that number two need, just because that was such an issue last year. You know, Adrian Culver started the year free safety, really struggled quite a bit after having a really good rookie season. He got hurt. You know, we saw Jimmy Ward back there. He's had a hard time staying healthy and is probably not going to be back. And so I just, you know, I keep seeing Earl Thomas's name, and he is such – he's obviously a scheme fit, you know, coming from Seattle. He's, you know, someone who's graded – I mean, you know, elite safety, one of the best in the league. Even last year – the three or four games he played before he got hurt, he was grading at an elite level. So even at his age, I think off the top of my head, I think he's 29 or 30 going into next season. I still think he's playing at an elite level. A huge need for this defense. I think they could use his leadership. And I mean, I definitely think, you know, he and Richard Sherman would both love to take out Seattle twice a year, teaming up together. So, I mean, I think I kind of have that as my next need. I think Earl Thomas would be a tremendous fit into this defense.
How bad did the rest of the secondary grade, aside from Richard Sherman? And I think I was actually surprised that Sherman didn't grade out like insanely good. I think he started out grading out really well, and it dropped a little bit over the course of the season. What did the grades look like? And was it like a huge gaping hole at either corner or free safety, or was everything just a black hole aside from Richard Sherman?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sherman's grade wasn't quite as high as some of his other metrics as far as, like, you know, how often he was targeted and how many receptions he gave up for a coverage snap and yards, where he was almost at the top of the league. But, I mean, he still graded well, but it wasn't quite the elite grade he'd had in the past. But then, yeah, there was a huge drop-off after that. So, like, you know, Witherspoon was at 44.9, Maben was 48.8, Tavarius Moore was 52.1. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Ward looking at his safety was at 55. So, yeah, there was quite a drop-off after that. So, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, you can't ever have enough cornerbacks in this league. So I think that's another position. You know, Rice, I'm just going back and forth between free safety and corner, their next biggest need. You know, not a huge amount of corner big names available. You know, I mean, one of the guys kind of had a breakout year this year from the Colts was Pierre Desir. I thought might be a possible fit. You know, he's 6'1", kind of a, you know, fits that, you know, 49er corners, you know, metric a little bit. You know, not another bunch of names jump out at me, but I mean, I think that's definitely another need. Except I think free safety and corner. I mean, after that, I mean, I think you could go either, you know, offensive guard, wide receiver, you know, linebacker. I mean, any one of those three, really. I mean, I think Lincoln Thomas, I think it looks like he's kind of found a home at left guard. He's been serviceable there the last 2 years, and, you know, that trade's worked out. Mike Person played pretty well at right guard. I mean, I think the matter is if they can bring him back at an affordable price, I think that kind of shores up your offensive line, at least for this year. I mean, I think both tackles are good. You know, Staley's still playing at a very high level. You know, Weston Richburg, I think, was a little bit of a disappointment this year, but I think a lot of that was more health-related. You know, he was on the injury report, but I think for about the last 13 or 14 weeks with that knee. And it was interesting because I think he actually sat out 1 week when it got too bad. And it was interesting because I think his two lowest graded games were the 2 weeks before he finally just, you know, decided he needed a week or two off. But so I think I'm hoping to see a little bit better from him if he's healthier this year. So I think if they can bring Person back, that kind of shores up the offensive line for this year. And then it's just, you know, finding some depth at wide receiver and also at, you know, the linebacker spot, since obviously Reuben Foster is gone. I mean, I think Fred Warner had a pretty good rookie year, a little inconsistent at times, but flashed some really good things. You know, I imagine they're going to bring Elijah Lee back, but I think definitely there's a spot there, especially at the Will linebacker spot. I mean, you know, KJ Wright's a name. It might be a big name there. A couple other options. You know, another spot at Sam linebacker. We know we talked about Josh Allen in the draft, but, you know, maybe Shaq Barrett from Denver is a possibility. You know, he's kind of been the odd man out there a little bit with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb getting a lot of the play there. He might be a guy who could be a fit as well.
Yeah, Shaq Barrett is a name I haven't talked enough about, and I've been kind of hyping up Anthony Barr just because I think there's some untapped pass rush potential there, and I know that the height, weight, speed athletes are the players that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have liked to bring in, so I think he's just such a good fit there for the base down Sam linebacker who has that athleticism, and coming off the edge might have a little bit extra that he hasn't been able to show in Minnesota, but Shaq Barrett is another one that makes a lot of sense there at Sam, so I could see them going a number of routes there in free agency. And the thing is about the draft is there's so many good Sam linebacker prospects too, that it might behoove them to. And look, if we're looking at just edge speed guys, maybe they do just bring in all Sam types and all just undersized speed edge rushers and not worry about the beef, like we mentioned, because they have so much of that. And okay, so here we go. This is how I had it written out before you came on the show. And it sounds like we're pretty close to agreement here. I've got the top six needs listed as edge, 2 free safety, 3 cornerback, 4 wide receiver, 5 offensive line, and 6 linebacker. But I've got Sam linebacker mixed in with the edge group, so my linebacker is more off ball. And the one question I have to you, first of all, how do you feel about that order? Is that an agreeable order, or would you swap anything in there?
I had the exact same thing. If I had 5 and 6 flip-flop, but I mean, I think at that point, I'm in pretty much in agreement with you.
Okay, it's time to take a quick break here. More with Jeff Deeney talking free agency, talking draft, and how to attack those needs. The reason, and this brings me into my next question here, because the reason I had all offensive line first is that obviously Mike Person is going to be a free agent, and then there's the future need where ideally a position like offensive line, you might want to try to develop a guy a year early and then plug one of those holes and have a little bit more depth in case you lose one of your offensive tackles and just looking at it. But at the same time, that might be a first round need next year if Staley does go away or something like that. But my question here is at linebacker, might the 49ers be kind of okay with Elijah Lee as he came on at the end of the year with Malcolm Smith maybe sticking around, even though you know a lot of people suspect he might be getting the axe and get cut because of his cap hit and being a backup at this point. Is Elijah Lee good enough to where maybe you back off a little bit on that linebacker need and not have to go overpay for someone in free agency and maybe just try to draft another guy to develop in the mid rounds?
I mean, I think if you scour the market, you don't see a guy that was a good value and you ended up, filling other needs in the draft and not picking a guy, I think you could probably place him in there. I think they'd like to upgrade at that position, but if, they end up spending their money and their draft capital elsewhere, I think you can probably plug him in and be okay. But, I think in the long run, you probably like to upgrade, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if that's where you end up having to plug him in.
All right, so let's go through these positions again and decide what the best plan of attack is for each one. So edge, I think we're in agreement. You go free agency and you go draft early both, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So free safety is an interesting one for me. And actually cornerback is too, because I think at a certain point, the 49ers have some depth. And I actually like the way Antoine Exum played. They've got Tart. They've got Marcel Harris at strong safety. You got Adrian Colbert hopefully coming back and providing some depth there at free safety, even if he's not a long-term starter. You plug in Earl Thomas at the top, and then all those guys just fall into place on the depth chart. Now suddenly you have depth, and you've got a pretty good starting unit at free safety. But my question is, Earl Thomas is not available. How impactful is any of the other free agent safeties there? And would it even be worth paying for a guy, or do you kind of roll with the youth and maybe draft somebody at that point if Earl Thomas is not the guy that you're able to get in free agency?
Unfortunately, I'm trying to think of who else is there. I mean, you're looking HaHa Clinton-Dix, mm-hmm. one guy. I guess maybe Tyrann Mathieu might be a possibility. I know he's more, this last year. I mean, obviously he played a lot of slot corner too, but I mean, a little more, strong safety, I think, this year in Houston with Justin Reed there. But, I think he's someone who probably could be more of a free safety as well. I'm assuming this Rams are going to keep a Marcus Joyner. He'd be a big name, obviously, too. But aside from that, I don't see either, impact guys you could sign to be back, to put back there. That would be, really solid starters.
And a lot of the guys, a lot of the guys in the market are strong safety types too. And you named the three guys that I would have named that could potentially maybe be that starting free safety. And a lot of the rest are more strong safety types. And I think strong safety is one position that the 49ers are going to mess with. So yeah, after Earl Thomas, maybe you just try to draft a highly athletic, rangy safety, and then just let him compete and see what you got.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I think Earl Thomas obviously going to have a pretty strong market. I know that the Dallas rumor has been floating for years. So, but I mean, I got to think the Niners are attracted to him. I think it's a team that's kind of, I know they disappointed last year, only won four games. So I think it's a team on the rise. And I think getting this chance to play Seattle twice a year is probably pretty enticing to him as well.
So let's move on to cornerback. That position is interesting too, because you have two third round draft picks from the last couple of years that you would hopefully you would be able to just plug them in and they would be the starters and they would develop into that. And neither one has done that yet. Tarvarius Moore obviously hadn't got much of a chance to do that. Maybe he's the guy and it's not Akella Witherspoon, but they both have high end athleticism. They have the length that they're looking for in this scheme. I don't think you need the highest end cornerback there, but you might need maybe a veteran to go with that group. So it's a lot cheaper in free agency, but it would make a lot of sense to bring in a veteran to compete with those guys. And then ideally you let the competition sort of net you a corner, but a lot of people have talked about drafting a first round corner. I'm not sure if that's the way to go. How do you attack the cornerback position?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't think there's a ton of guys that are, available in free agents. I mean, I think they're probably okay with Kaywon Williams or at slot corner, also with DJ Reed. I know Reed's kind of played some safety and some slot corner, but I think you got some depth there. I think they're okay. So if you're looking to bring guys in, I think it's more of the outside corner positions. And I don't think there's a ton out there. Like I said, I think, Desir was a guy I kind of looked at. I mean, trying somebody else. Ronald Darby's not quite the guy as far as, I think, the height that Niners usually bring in. But, I mean, someone who's played well, but he's coming off a torn ACL. I mean, there aren't a lot of, marquee names that I see that it would be, kind of fits in the Niners scheme at outside corner. So, maybe you kind of do bring in some guy on the, that's somewhat affordable that can compete just in case that you're hoping Witherspoon or Tavarius or one of those two guys, if not both, can, have a breakout year and really bust out. But if you don't, you still have someone that's kind of serviceable that can to manage that position just in case. And then, look at the draft again, because I you can never have enough corners. So I think that's definitely a position, whether you sign somebody in free agency or not, I think they need to look at in the draft. I mean, I think number two is probably a little early for that, but I mean, day two and three, I think they should be still looking for corners.
And I don't know how much Jason McCourty would cost, but Eric Crocker was on the show, and that was a name he brought up, and I thought that was an interesting one. The guy I've talked about that I think would be a nice fit because he'd be a veteran, short-term contract that would be a tough guy to supplant, but it would provide good competition for the young cornerbacks, and that's Morris Claiborne.
Yeah, I mean, that's another guy. I was looking at him. I mean, there's a couple other ones. I mean, like I said, none of these big names, but if you can get some of these guys that, Morris Claiborne's 29, 30 off the top of my head. Some of these guys may not, I don't think they're going to be day one free agents that are going to sign that. Maybe, after a few weeks or, sometimes they sit around until after the draft that you can get them and not have to pay a huge premium. That they definitely would be fits here.
Now, how about wide receiver? Is that a situation where you throw a bunch of draft picks at Antonio Brown or one of the players that has a name that might be available? Are you looking for somebody in free agency, even though good wide receivers rarely hit free agency? Or are you trying to draft your next alpha, your next big-bodied sort of chain-moving type of wide receiver? That's going to be an interesting position because I think the 49ers need some impact there, and they have so many guys that are similar that have speed and athleticism. But I wonder if even Kyle Shanahan cares if he has a big-bodied wide receiver. Does he just want more of the same type of guy? The wide receiver position, the way I feel about it, is one way, but I have a tough time trying to figure out how Kyle Shanahan feels about that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of hinted at times that, having a big wide receiver is nice, but if that's the only thing they can do is, catch passes in the red zone or something, and post up on guys, and that's all they can do, that's not really the type of guy he wants. I think he wants guys who are versatile and do different things that can stretch the field. And, like in Dante Pettis' case, can line up in almost every different spot. And, I mean, I think Pettis is actually a pretty big red zone threat. He showed it in college and, a little bit last year. It's interesting. You look at a lot of the big wide receiver names out there, and a lot of these guys are more, guys who are primarily in the slot, like, Golden Tate, Adam Humphries, Randall Cobb. And I think the Niners are pretty good at the slot position. I mean, Trent Taylor, his back injury sounded like it was a lot worse than they had let on. But he was having like nerve issues with his feet and stuff and didn't really get a lot of playing time till late in the year. But if he's healthy, he's back. And I think you've seen, Richie James and Pettis also, in the slot and be effective there. So, I don't think you need to go out and spend a bunch of money on a guy who's primarily a slot receiver. So you look at other guys, John Brown is someone who's, more of an outside guy, but I kind of see him very similar to kind of a Goodwin type where someone really, speed burner, stretches the field. If they want to go the big guy route, maybe Tyrell Williams from the Chargers is a possibility. He kind of had a disappointing year last year, so maybe he's not going to cost as much as he would have previously. But yeah, it's tough. I don't see really a big name guy. I think is where I would see he would be a huge fit, but maybe you sign somebody that's more of a depth guy to give him a little more depth and, again, visit that position at the draft.
Yeah, and luckily, like edge, there's a bunch of wide receivers, especially the 6'2 and up wide receivers in this draft. There's a ton of them in the Senior Bowl, a bunch of underclassmen as well. So it's shaping up to be a good draft need-wise for the 49ers, at least at a couple of positions. And they could find themselves a starter I think, pretty easily in the second or third round with those bigger-bodied wide receivers. So I'm with you. If you're going free agent route, probably maybe just for depth, go cheap there and hope you hit a home run in the draft and keep developing that offensive talent, because I do believe in Kyle Shanahan's ability to develop his guys on offense.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at, you know, I think they're just, you know, really excited from, like I said, you know, I think right guard's an issue, wide receiver depth's an issue, but aside from that, on offense, they're pretty good. I mean, I think they're pretty much set at running back next year with, you know, they have a good run-two punch with Breida and McKinnon. I'm assuming Raheem Mostert's going to come back. It'll give him some depth, and also he's, you know, been great on special teams. So I think, you know, just a couple small minor moves and then, you know, getting some guys in the draft, I think they're really good to go on offense. Or I think, like I said, the bigger holes, like we talked about, you know, 1 through 4 are on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned running back, and I think maybe they could draft a guy, and I'm sure every year Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner are going to find a guy that they really like in the draft, but I'm sure that'll be more of a hidden gem type, someone that's a day three pick, and it wouldn't cost a lot to come in and battle and be a depth player, and you know how attrition plays out in the NFL at that position, so who knows, the guy you draft in the seventh round might end up starting for you by the end of the year, or an undrafted free agent like Matt Breida. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then, of course, kicker is down the list too, depending on what happens with Robbie Gould. But I think we nailed those top needs. Again, they go edge, free safety, cornerback, wide receiver, offensive line, and linebacker. Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus, my guest on today's program. Got to step aside for one moment. More to come, and I'm going to try to get Jeff to convince me that Josh Allen is the guy for the 49ers at pick number 2. And I know, talking to you off the air, Jeff, and we'll end with this. By the way, this is Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus. Always fun to talk to, knowledgeable football guy. You haven't gotten deep into the draft stuff yet, but you did mention that you have watched Nick Bosa and you have watched Josh Allen. And I know Josh Allen grades out huge at PFF. I've been one of the people that have told people to maybe pump the brakes a little bit on Josh Allen, that he's not Von Miller, he's not Khalil Mack, and that there might be a better player, at least at number 2 overall, than Josh Allen. So I know PFF loves him, so I'm going to ask you to convince me of Josh Allen being someone that's valuable at that number 2 overall pick, and maybe compare what you've seen from Bosa and Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think they're, you know, kind of two different players. I think Allen is more of a speed guy. You know, he's someone who's played pretty much from a two-point stance in Kentucky, you know, dropped into coverage quite a bit. Like I said, I think he's more projecting as a Sam linebacker with the Niners, where he plays, you know, that Sam position in base, might even drop into coverage a little bit. But then, you know, the sub-package, he's defensive end rushing the passer, you know. Definitely a guy, except speed guy, gets a lot of, majority of his pressures, you know, he has outside moves. You know, it's interesting with him because, you know, kind of at least right now the consensus is that obviously Bosa is the number 1 guy and probably Quinnen Williams is probably the number 2 guy. You know, so then the question is, I mean, there's two questions. The whole best player available versus need. And obviously the Niners' need is at the edge rusher position. They're pretty, you know, deep at, you know, the interior line. So, you know, I kind of tend to lean towards the best player available at that point. But then the second part of that conversation is, I think, you know, looking at, you know, either you want to do like expect a point added or wins above replacement metrics that we have. But, you know, obviously edge rushing is a much more valuable position than interior line, you know, unless your name's Aaron Donald. So I think with that, I'm kind of leaning more towards the edge rusher. So, you know, it's a close call for me, but if Bosa's gone at number 1, I'm probably leaning Josh Allen number 2 right now, just based on the limited stuff I've seen. I mean, I need to watch more film on both those guys right now, but that's kind of where I'm leaning. Rossi, I think Bosa's more of a every down at the Leo spot. Bigger guy is going to be better against the run. I mean, I think looking at our metrics, you know, we were really high on Josh Allen this year. He graded very well. I think his pass rush grade was, I think, best among all edge defenders. His pass rush productivity rating was just the highest also. He was someone who really had a really big breakout year last year. I mean, he was good last his junior season, but you know, he put on some weight, and his grades and his metrics really took a huge jump this year. Where with Nick Bosa, he's pretty much been elite his entire career at Ohio State. I mean, sophomore, junior years, even a couple of games he played last season, is putting up elite numbers. You know, he's kind of going to be kind of every day, every down guy at defensive end. You know, much stronger guy, more powerful. But, you know, hopefully – for some reason, Arizona decides not to, whether they want to trade out of that pick or, you know, outthink themselves and try to go somewhere else because they have Chandler Jones or something. I don't know. Some sort of reason that Bosa doesn't go one and he slips two, I think, is the best case scenario for the Niners. But if they don't, then they got a decision to make. And, you know, right now I'm kind of leaning towards Josh Allen. But, I mean, you know, if someone gives me this, you know, tries to sell me on Quinnen Williams, it's kind of hard to turn that down as well.
And Quinnen Williams, in his own right, had some really massive PFF numbers as well. I think I saw today it was he was number two in the nation against the run and number one against the pass as an interior defensive lineman. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think somewhere along, I mean, if you're not hitting, it's closer. He was pretty much the top, and he was just dominant at that position this year. So, I mean, I think my only hesitancy with him is just like they have so many people. I mean, they had a hard enough time last year finding, you know, snaps on the interior for, you know, Buckner and Armstead and Thomas, et cetera, and sub package and throwing Sheldon Day in there and stuff. So, you know, so you throw Quinnen Williams in the mix, it's kind of a glut there while you're still got a huge hold edge rusher. So, but yeah, he graded off the charts with us this year. So if they end up taking him, it's hard for me to question that. It's just, it leaves a big hole of pass rusher.
Right. And that's a great point you make about sort of the wins above replacement or the value above replacement player at the edge versus what the 49ers already have at the edge versus adding someone amazing inside versus what the 49ers already have inside. So even if you get a player who's not as good, it makes your team better as long as Josh Allen hits. And so that's an argument I will definitely buy for Josh Allen.
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens because I tend to think it's both of probably 90% going to happen in Arizona, but it's, you know, and if that's the case, I mean, they're going to have a huge, I don't want to say franchise altering decision. That's probably a little strong, but I mean, that's a very big decision to make it too.
Right, that's a huge decision. If you go Josh Allen and Quinnen Williams becomes Aaron Donald Part Two or something like that, you know, jobs are on the line, and jobs are on the line anyways. I think if the 49ers don't get that right and they miss on another top three pick, that would be a massive blow unless they start winning games anyways.
Yeah, and I absolutely make a great point. I mean, obviously Lynch and Shannon have had a pass the first 2 years and they've kind of been rebuilding, but I think this is the first season where there's going to be some heat on them if things aren't going well. So I think this is a huge draft, both at number two, but just in general for the Niners.
And I'm trying to find different reasons to fall in love with Josh Allen just because there's some things on tape that I didn't like as much as what his reputation is and even what his production was. But I love the character, self-made player. Actually, I think the comparison that people aren't making, I've kind of actually compared him to Anthony Barr, who's a guy who had 23 sacks in college and was really athletic and got by with athleticism and ended up being more of an off-ball player in the NFL. But Josh Allen was a 210-pound wide receiver in high school. And so DeMarcus Ware is the guy that I'm surprised he doesn't get compared to more often because I think height, weight, speed, he's very similar to that type of a player. DeMarcus Ware was also a really lowly recruited player out of high school, was also a 210-pound wide receiver in high school and then grew into a stud defensive end and edge player. So that would be a player I think would compare nicely to what Josh Allen you hope he would become would be DeMarcus Ware. And with Josh Allen, the thing I do not want to bet against, and first of all, when you've got the height, weight, speed, you've got that athleticism, and then you've got the desire and the drive, it's the type of player you don't want to bet against. And then just the value of an edge player, those would be the arguments for me, even more so than what I've seen on tape, because it's still a little bit of a leap of faith because he's not there yet technique-wise, and the way he plays just doesn't play as well in the NFL. You just can't run around NFL offensive tackles all day.
Right, and I think you make a good point where I think there might be a little bit more of a higher ceiling for him. Like you said, his technique and, you know, maybe the pass rush moves and stuff like that are not all there, and so there's still a little bit of, you know, room for improvement where, and this is like a backhanded compliment of Bosa, but I mean, the guy's already an absolute stud, and which is why he's probably going to be the number one pick, where I think, you know, Allen's still a little bit on the raw side, and I think you're drafting a little bit. I mean, obviously, he was tremendously productive last year, but I think you're drafting a little bit on potential as well.
No, it's a great point because day one, I would put all my money that Nick Bosa is a better player out of the gate, but Josh Allen has that raw ability. And that would be probably the last check mark that if and it's a bummer he's not at the Senior Bowl for the 49ers to sort of fall in love with him and fall in love with his work ethic and his character and all those things, but I'm sure they'll get a great feel for that. And I know the people at the University of Kentucky are big on him, and he was sort of a program-changing type of person and player, which is, I think, that measures huge almost as much as any of the other stuff, which is one of the things I love about him the most. And so if he can make that last check mark, if he can check that last box at the combine and really just be an athletic freak with all the other things we've talked about, that would make me feel a ton better about Josh Allen at number two.
That's an excellent point.
That is Jeff Deeney. Thanks for taking it long with me here, Jeff. You can find him on Twitter at @PFF_Jeff. 49ers media correspondent at Pro Football Focus. Those guys are putting out just a ton of great stuff all the time. And so it's always great to talk to Mr. Jeff Deeney. Jeff, thank you so much.
No problem, anytime.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again, as always, to Jeff Deeney for joining the show. Keep those mailbag questions coming in. We'll hit some of those later in the week. Talk to you next time right here on Locked On 49ers.